to use that at all then?
No, that's what you need to speak to the people. It's there in your pocket.
Okay.
She lost it, doesn't it? She stopped. Okay. Okay. But you can leave it on by all means if you want to. People are like that.
Mm-hmm.
Speak up.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Later. You can do it now. Let's pray. Father Lord, we thank you for the privilege of listening to you speak to us. Thank you, Father Lord, for the vessel that you use to speak to us. Father Lord, I commit myself into your hands, Lord, that I shall speak the words that you lay on my heart, even though I have prepared. But Lord, there are some times that you may want to speak your words apart from what we have prepared. Lord, I open up myself for the Holy Spirit to lead. Thank you, Father Lord, for the persons that are going to be listening, Lord, that you shall speak to them. As each of our faces are different, so are the things that you want to do in our lives. So are the burdens of our hearts different. And Lord, you can use one word to speak to each and every one of us and touch each of our areas of need. And so, Father, as we listen, let these words be planted in our hearts and let our lives never be the same again. In the name of Jesus Christ. So, the topic for today, like you see, is righteousness of faith. I know our dear brother John, he's been doing a lot on the book of Romans and teaching us about the righteousness of faith and how we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But today, we will maybe go a little bit further. Now, many times when we get saved as born-again Christians, we get born again, and then we get into works. And before we become born again, most of us, we come from families that go to church. And the issue is that we already have an idea of what this Christian life is. But sometimes we may not have been born again. So when we become born again, now we think, now it is my obligation to live right. Jesus has saved me, so now it's my responsibility to live right. And then we get into this treadmill of works. And many times there are works in the flesh. We become born again and then we read the Bible. And the Bible talks about be holy, be perfect, even as I am perfect. And many Christians, they try. You become born again and you try. But we see that this work is too much for us to do. And what do some Christians do? They make up their minds, this is too difficult, this is impossible, nobody can do this. And so we have those group of Christians who decide, I can't even try, I've tried, and I'm not able to do it. We also have the other group of Christians who just become born again. So being born again is like a fire insurance. They just save themselves from going to hell, and then they live their lives. They use the ways of the world, they don't read the Bible, but they are born again. But then we have this other group of Christians who become born again, and they try to live this holy life. And they see that they can't. For years, they try to live this life, and they see that they can't. But they keep on seeking, why are things not working? And it is this group of Christians that keep on seeking that eventually find out what we call the righteousness of faith. We find out that we cannot do this work by ourselves. That is why Jesus Christ came, so that we may live through him. And the problem is that many Christians, we go through this life of works for years. And many times we don't see God enough for God to direct us and tell us, you have tried, but you can't. Many times we see God on the surface, and we keep on seeking God like that, and everything that God has to do for us, we don't appropriate it. So today we will look at how it is that we become righteous by faith. Is it possible for us to be holy? Jesus says, be ye holy, even as I am holy. Be perfect. Is it possible? Is this a life that we can even think we can accomplish at all? But one thing I have found is that God never says anything that is impossible for us to do. With his power, we can do whatever it is that God has told us to do. Now, how did all of this get started? We have the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. In the Old Covenant, it was all about do. Thou shalt not do. Don't do this, don't do that. But what happened? The Bible says that they could not keep that covenant. They broke it. And I always wondered, why did God know that they couldn't keep this covenant, yet he institutes it? But then I found out in the book of Galatians that there was a purpose. Because I was thinking, why? You are God. You shouldn't make any mistakes. You should do things that work. But I found out that the old covenant had a purpose. The purpose was to keep the children of Israel in the way of God before, in preparation for the coming of Jesus Christ. So that was the purpose. So it's not like God made a mistake. So God found out that this covenant is not working. It had its purpose. So he institutes the new covenant. And let's see what it says. So God fixes this problem by instituting a new covenant. In Jeremiah 31 verse 33 it says, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and I will write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And then in Ezekiel 36:26, it says, a new heart also will I give you, amen, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart, and heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my ways, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. I have highlighted all the I wills. Look at all the I wills in all the three passages. That is the difference between the new covenant and the old. In the old covenant, God allows you to flex your muscle to see what you can do. And that was a failure. But in the new covenant, God says, I will, I will, I will, I will. I am the one that's supposed to do it. He allowed us to try in the old covenant, and we saw that that was a failure. But why didn't it work? Why? Because God does not do anything that doesn't work. Why didn't it work? The Bible says it was because of the weakness of our flesh, because the law is holy. The Bible says the law is holy. So because of the weakness of our flesh, we could not keep that covenant. Now, why would God institute a new covenant without fixing the problem of the old? They could not keep the old. So what has he done for us in the new covenant to ensure that we will be able to keep the covenant? This is what he's done. I will. I'm the one to do it. I will make the house of Israel after those days, and I will put my law in your inward parts. The law is no longer written on tablets of stone. It's no longer external to you. It becomes in your heart. He makes you want to do it. It says, I will be their God and they shall be my people. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit. I will, I will, I will. But why is it that as Christians, we are failing to be all that God wants us to be holy? Because if you look at your Christian life, and after 10, 20, 30 years of being a Christian, you are still doing the same things that you used to do. The devil is winning. Because the Bible has said that sin shall not have dominion over you. Are we looking at a point where we become perfect and we never sin anymore? No, it's a journey. But after 10, 20 years of being a Christian, you ought to be able to look back and say, oh, I used to be maybe angry 10 times a day. But after 5 years, I'm only angry 5 times a day. There has to be a progress. If there is no progress, something is wrong. The devil is winning. But we say our God is powerful. Is God not able to keep us holy? He has said that I will. He says, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my ways. I will cause you to walk in my ways. And so as I was meditating on this, I was asking God, but why? Why is this thing not working in most Christians' lives? And I thought about it. The Bible has lots of words. It says, be slow to speak, be kind to your neighbor, and so many words in the Bible. And as I was thinking, this revelation just came to me that we get engrossed in all the words that are in the Bible, all the sentences, all the commands in the Bible. And we forget, how did this get started? How did the new covenant get started? How did we begin? So we get into works, we get into thou shalt not, and what is the difference between the old covenant and the new? Sometimes we think that in the old covenant it was law. But brothers and sisters, if you look in the new, it's just as much a law as it is in the old. In the new, it tells us love your neighbor as yourself. In the new, it tells us don't tell a lie. In the new, it tells us do all things without complaining. These are just words equally to be done. But what's really the difference now? The difference now is that God comes into us and works this thing out. But is it really working that way? Is it possible for us to live this life of holiness? We are God's righteousness. Oh, that's what the Bible says. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But the Christian life, when you become born again, God gives you a position. He says you are healed, but your situation may not line up with that word he said. He says you are righteous, but you look around you and you still have all the negative attitudes around you. What is the purpose of Christianity? The purpose of Christianity is that God places you in a particular position. And all of Christian life is for you to equalize your condition to the position that God has placed you. That's what the Christian life is. And who is going to help you do this? It is only God that can do this. Only God. But the problem is that we take our eyes off of God and we look at ourselves. Now, if God is going to do everything, I will do this, I will do this. What does a person whom everything is to be done for do? Believe. If God says, I will do this, I will do that, I will do this, what is left for us to do? The only thing left for us to do is to believe. If I told you that I was going to help you build a house, no, not help you. I was going to build the house for you. Because there is nowhere here that God says he's going to help us. He says, I will do it. If I told you I was going to build a house for you and you said, okay. And then the next day I come to the site and I see you busy pouring concrete and doing, I thought I was going to do it. What do I do? I'll just have to take a back seat and allow you to do it. And that is what God does with many of us. As long as you are on the treadmill, as long as you think you can do it, God is going to wait for you to wear yourself out. And then, when you wear yourself out, God says, now I am ready to work with you. God is waiting for us to say, I can't, it's impossible. You know, when I became born again, I read the Bible and I saw glorious things in the Bible. I saw all these promises, and I said, Lord, how am I going to appropriate these promises? And I would always look at myself. I said, there are these glorious promises, but I know I can never reach up to it. I can never get these promises because I can't behave myself. I am not able to be holy for God to give me these promises. I would always say, Lord, I see your word. This is an awesome life, but am I able? It was always, am I able? Am I able to do it? And the problem is that many of us don't see God enough. Many of us say, this is an impossible life. I can't do it. And we just continue in the Christian life. We just busy ourselves with service, coming to church, and we don't attain to everything that God wants us to be. God has given us healing. God has given us a holy life. But why is it that we don't pursue it? Because we think it's impossible. But the Bible has said nothing is impossible with God. If God has said it, there is enough power in those words to make you what that word says. The Bible says that we are now dead to the law. We are no longer under the law. What is the law? The law is not, like I said before, it's not necessarily a set of words on a stone. Because if you look at the Old and the New, the New Testament could be as much a law. What is the law? The law is doing anything in your own effort. So Jesus comes, he says, you are now dead to the law. So we died to the law and we are now married to Jesus. So Jesus now becomes our righteousness. When we become born again, our nature has changed. But as Christians, why is it still easier to sin than to live right? If our nature has been changed, if you can agree with me, or maybe I'm the only one with this problem, why is it still easier for you to want to sin than to live right? It is easier for you to want to sin because you are looking at yourself. The Bible says, and they looked to him, and their faces were lightened. I listened to one man of God, and he gave an example of absolute dependence on God. And he said that God spoke to him one day and said, can you make one of your eye to look up and the other one to look down? And he said he tried it, and it did not work. And God told him, never claim to be looking unto me when you are looking unto man. Are our eyes completely focused on God as it relates to living right? As our eyes completely focused on God, or it is focused on ourselves? When you do wrong, what do you think about first? Do you think of Jesus first, or you think of yourself first? Anytime you make a mistake, many times we think of ourselves first. And this is where we are getting it wrong all the time. The Bible says you focus on Jesus. We just sang this song, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Is that true for you? Are you sure your hope is built on nothing less? Your hope is not built on yourself, that you are able to do it. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust my sweetest frame. There are days you are awesome. There are days you are good, and those are the kinds of days that make you think, I can do this. That song says, you dare not trust your sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name alone, only Jesus alone. The Bible tells us that we have been redeemed from all iniquity, and that is in Titus 2 verse 14. What negative habit are you having an issue with? The Bible says we have been redeemed from all iniquity. The Bible says that we have been perfected forever. From the day you became born again, you have been perfected forever in the spirit. But we live in a physical world, and what has happened in the spirit ought to be manifested in the flesh. The Bible says, and the word became flesh. At some point, the work that has happened in your spirit ought to be manifested in the physical realm. It says, sin shall not have dominion over you. That is the word that God has given us. But is it manifesting in your life? Is there any area that sin is having dominion over you? Like I said, it's a journey. The Bible says that the righteous man falls 7 times and rises up again. The Bible also says sin has been condemned in the flesh. So God, Jesus has done all these things. God has done all these things to us. But do we just read this and think it's not possible? Do we pursue this? If the Bible says that sin shall not have dominion over you, do you pursue it and determine that sin will not have dominion over me? The Bible says you have been redeemed from all iniquity. When you mess up, do you look at yourself and say, I have been redeemed from this? Or you look to yourself and you begin to plan how you are going to do better next time. That's a recipe for failure. Anytime you are looking unto yourself, and we will see an example in the Bible. Anytime you are looking unto yourself, you go round this mountain again, like the children of Israel. They went round the mountain for 40 years. Let's read Romans 8, verse 3-8. It says, the law always ended up being used as a band-aid on sin instead of a deep healing of it. And now what the law could ask for, but we couldn't deliver, is accomplished in us. Instead of redoubling our own efforts, simply embrace what the Spirit is doing in us. Those who think they can do it on their own end up obsessed with measuring their own moral muscle, but never get around to exercising it in real life. Those who trust God's action in them find that God's Spirit is in them, living and breathing God. Obsession with self in these matters is a dead end. Attention to God leads us out into the open, into a spacious, free life. Focusing on self is the opposite of focusing on God. Anyone completely absorbed in self ignores God, ends up thinking more about self than God. That person ignores who God is and what he is doing, and God isn't pleased at being ignored. This is what we are talking about. We look at ourselves. God does not say, look at me and also look at yourself. No, look at me alone. Anytime you make a mistake, and which we do, you ought to look at God alone. You don't begin to sit down and plan how it is that you are going to make yourself better. Now, I had always thought that it is my responsibility to be holy, like I said. And many of us Christians think that God has saved you, so in appreciation to his saving you, it's my responsibility to live holy. But that's not true. I had an experience one day, and God told me that this is not the case. I envisaged that I was going to be in a situation that was going to be a little bit rough. I was going to be in a kind of situation that could turn into a quarrel. And I prepared myself. I said, I'm going to behave like a Christian. I told God, help me. I planned what I was going to do in that situation. But when push came to shove, I didn't behave like that. I walked in the flesh and I was, saying things that I was not supposed to say. And after all of that episode, I was now crying and asking God. I was telling God, why is it so difficult to walk in the Spirit? Why is it so hard to be holy? I planned. I did. This was not how I wanted to respond. And God spoke to me. As I was crying and just complaining, God spoke to me and said, do you think I just leave you by yourself for the devil to pummel you? And he makes a statement that has changed my life. He says, I am responsible for you. He tells me, I'm responsible for you. And I had never heard anybody say that. I'd never heard anybody preach it. God says, I'm responsible for you. And you know, God knows that if he doesn't give me a scripture to back that up soon, I will soon discount it. And he takes me back to John chapter 17, where Jesus is praying for his disciples in preparation for his crucifixion. Jesus says, I have kept them, and none of them is lost. Jesus took it as his responsibility to keep the disciples. And so God tells me, I am responsible for your holiness. Do you believe that God is responsible for your holiness, or you think you're responsible for yourself? Do you believe that God is responsible for keeping you holy? We just read it. I will cause you to walk in my ways. And then in that episode, the Spirit reminds me, remember Peter. Jesus tells Peter, the devil has desired to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you. The devil has desired to sift you like wheat. I have prayed for you. And Jesus tells me, I'm praying for you. He prayed. Jesus prayed for Peter. Did he come back? Was he converted? Yes, he was. He said, the devil has desired to sift you, but I'm praying for you. And when you are converted, comfort your brothers, or something like that. Jesus' prayers worked for Peter. Do you think that Jesus' prayers can work for you? The Bible says that Jesus is by the right-hand side of the Father, interceding for us. We have all the help that we need. But what is your mentality as it relates to this? If your mentality is the fact that God has saved me, I am, and that motivation, you want to live holy, that means you're focusing on yourself. But God says, I am responsible for you. And in that same John 17, Jesus, he now tells the Father, Father, I am coming back to you. Keep them. He has kept the disciples. Now he hands over the disciples to Jesus, to God, for keeping. He says, protect them from the evil. Do you see how Jesus keeps the disciples? And then he hands over the keeping to God. I am coming back to you. Brothers and sisters, there is no time that God is not keeping you. There is no time that God is not helping you to live a holy life. But our problem is that we don't look to him. Our thoughts are not towards God. The Bible says the wicked man does not have God in all his thoughts. Does God want us to have him in all our thoughts? He says the wicked man does not have God in all his thoughts. God wants us to have him in all our thoughts. That is the only way we can be successful in this Christian life. God wants you to have him in all your thoughts. Now, during this my struggle, I don't know how many of us have struggled to live right. Oh, I have struggled to live right. Like I have struggled. I mean, when I used to read, sin shall not have dominion over you. And when I'm getting angry, I say, sin shall not have dominion over me. I am not saying it because it's so. I'm saying it so that it will become so. When the Bible says you are dead to sin, and I'm getting angry, my children have done something wrong, I'm getting angry, and I'm trying to tame that anger, I'm trying to tame myself, and I'm telling myself, I'm dead to anger in Jesus' name. I am not saying it because I believe it. It's been done. I'm saying it so that it will be done, and that's not correct. The Bible says you are dead to sin, and you must believe that first, that you are dead. That's the position you are now. You don't make that confession for it to happen. And I would tell myself, I'm getting angry. I'll tell myself, I'm dead to anger. And the more I confess, the angrier I become. And I'm saying, Lord, this is not working. This is not working. And I hear testimonies of people becoming born again. Oh, I got born again, and in a year, I have overcome anger. And I said, Lord, what is wrong with me? What is wrong with me? And God told me one day, a phrase came to my mind, sin consciousness. Sin consciousness. And I went on the internet, and I started Googling and checking what sin consciousness is. And to cut a long story short, I saw that I was sin conscious. Everything is sin. For many of us Christians, the big elephant in the room is sin. Sin is a big thing. But brothers, why should sin be a big problem when the problem of sin has been dealt with? And God spoke to me. He said, you know what? You believe me for healing. You believe me for prosperity, but you are not believing me to keep you holy. You think it's your responsibility to keep you holy. You are not having faith. You have faith for everything. You know why we have faith for healing? Because we know you can't do. You know you can't do it. If the doctor says that you have come down with cancer or any sickness, you can't do anything to save yourself. You know it has to be God. So we have faith for that because we know we can't do it. But when it comes to holiness and perfection, I can do it. So we don't have faith for that. And God told me, you are not having faith for me to keep you holy. You think you can do it. And it just dawned on me that the whole of this Christian life is by faith. Everything is by faith. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. There is no aspect of this Christian life that you can do it on your own. And the healing, you are sure you can't do that one. Brothers and sisters, the same way you are sure you can't heal yourself, that's the same way you should be sure that you can't be holy unless God helps you. The same way that you are looking to God to heal you, the same way you are helpless as it relates to any sickness in your body, that is the same way you are helpless to keeping yourself holy, to keeping yourself perfect. That's the same way. You have to have that mindset of helplessness as it relates to living right. And many times we are focused on God for healing and every other thing, but we are not really focused on God. We don't pay much attention to being holy, to living right. We are more focused on getting healed and living well. But Jesus gave us a complete package. It's all encompassing. I don't want to be healed and still be bedeviled by all the negative attitudes I had when I was in the world. No, I want that complete package. I want to be holy as much as I want to be healed. But the problem is that if you don't pursue this, it's not going to happen. So in this new covenant, what we have is the righteousness that comes by faith. Why do you need faith for anything? You need faith for something. Faith, the word faith arises because somebody's condition is not lining up with what the Bible says. You need faith for anything because there is a wait time. There is a waiting because somebody might be asking, but I'm focusing on Jesus and I'm still having the same attitudes. Brothers and sisters, there is a wait time. There is a time you have to wait. The word is a seed. You sow that seed, and that seed, the Bible says, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. There is a process. There is a wait time. And that is why it requires faith. I am praying, I'm looking unto God, but it's not happening. I'm still getting angry. That is why faith is required. And as it relates to living right, I tell you, it's difficult. It's difficult for you to act in a wrong way and you sit there and say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And the devil is telling you, you hypocrite. And yet you still confess, I am the righteousness of God. You feel guilty and you feel like, I want to change myself, but you can't. That is why it requires faith for God to do it. It requires faith. Let's look at this righteousness of faith. It has been explained in the book of Romans. Let's see how Paul describes this righteousness of faith that we're talking about. It says, for Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things, you shall live by them. The righteousness of the law is, what have you done? But let's see what the righteousness of faith says. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in your heart or in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ again from the dead? The Bible says the righteousness of faith, you don't ask questions in your heart. How am I going to overcome this negative habit? He says, say not in your heart, who will go to heaven and bring Christ down? The Amplified Version says, as if we can be righteous with our own efforts. Thinking about bringing Christ down from the earth to come and do something is works. You're thinking, how can I do this? How can I do? The Bible says, righteousness of faith does not ask those questions in their hearts. But what does it say? But what is righteousness of faith? It says, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith that we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. This is all that the righteousness of faith is. You notice the two things, heart and mouth. The righteousness of faith. You are not thinking, you are not planning and strategizing how you are going to live holy. What does it do? The word is on your mouth. Speak it. I've been perfected forever. God has redeemed me from all iniquity. I have dominion over sin. Sin has been condemned in the flesh. The word is on your mouth. And then is in your heart. There is no talk about doing anything. The word is on your mouth and is in your heart. You believe and then you speak. There is no mention of doing. This is the righteousness of faith.
Hallelujah.
It says that if thou shalt confess, then it goes to explain what you do with a word in your mouth. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We use this verse when we talk about people becoming born again. But this verse is for all of Christian life. That word saved, the Greek translation is preserved, is healed, is delivered from everything. That word is all encompassing. So you use this for all of Christian life. It says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made. There is nothing said about doing stuff. There's nothing said about doing. The heart and the mouth. The heart and the mouth. What are you saying? The Old Testament is what have you done? The New Testament is what do you believe? What do you believe? Because when you believe it, you will speak it. And then it says, and thou shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised Jesus from the dead. Many times we read that verse and say, yeah, Jesus died and he was raised from the dead. But no. Raising Jesus from the dead. When Jesus died, all his emotions, his muscles, he was dead. But God raised him from the dead. God is saying, you ought to be dead like Jesus was. Dead to your emotions, dead to your plans, dead to your strategies of how to be holy. If God could raise Jesus from the dead, Jesus couldn't help God raise him from the dead. Jesus could not help God. He was dead. That is the same way we ought to be dead. That is the same way you see yourself as helpless. You are dead. You can't help yourself. If God raised Jesus from the dead, he can raise you from any dead habit. He can raise you from whatever negative habits you're engaged in. Are you smoking and you want to stop? The Bible says, do all things without complaining. Do you find that you are complaining? Whatever the Bible says, be slow to speak and quick to listen. The New Testament can just become law if you don't focus on God just as the Old Testament. It can become law if you don't focus on God. So this is the righteousness of faith, mouth and heart. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that God had raised him from the dead. The same way God raised Jesus from the dead, Jesus could not help him. That is the same way that God can raise any dead part of your life, can come back to life. Now, let's look at another example. If we look in the book of Galatians, Paul shows us what the new covenant is all about. He shows us what the new covenant is all about. And he gives us an analogy that Sarah, Isaac gave birth to Sarah, and Sarah gave birth to Isaac. Isaac was a child of promise, but Hagar gave birth to Ishmael. Ishmael was a son of Abraham's works, flesh. I can do it. God's promise is taking too long. I have been praying for this negative habit for a long time and I'm still in it, so I got to do something to save myself. That's what Abraham did. God had promised him a son. God did not need any help from Abraham. And we talk about heaven help those who help themselves. No, heaven helps those who can't help themselves. God does not need your help. He never needed your help to create the world. He didn't need your help to institute the new covenant. He has not needed your help for anything, and he doesn't need your help now. But Abraham, because he could do it, he was still young at that time. And so he connived with Sarah, went into Hagar, and had Ishmael. And what did God do with Ishmael? I am not having that. Drive him out of the house, which was, it seems wicked. But brothers and sisters, that is an example of what God will do with the works of your flesh. He's not going to accept it. You would think that, Ishmael, a small baby, why do you drive him out of the house? But God's word is holy, and he will stand by his word. Hagar and Ishmael were driven out of the house because it was a work of the flesh. Abraham decided, I can do this. Let's help God. God does not need your help. And when did Isaac come? When there was no hope. Abraham was dead. He knew he couldn't have any child anymore. That is God's work to do. God waited for Abraham to be dead. It was impossible. Abraham now knew, if anything is going to happen, it has to be God. That's what God wants in your life. If anything is going to happen, it has to be God.
Hallelujah.
Let's see what God has promised us in his word. Brothers and sisters, these are the promises of God to keep us. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling. Is God able to keep you from falling?
Yes.
His word says it. And present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Hebrews 13:20-21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. You will notice that this phrase of God raising Jesus from the dead, it occurs a lot in the New Testament. And when God repeats something so many times, he's trying to draw your attention to something. It says, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you covenant. God is going to make you. Jesus tells the disciples, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. It says, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you. Who is going to work in you? It's God that works in you to will. It's God that works in you to have the desire. It's God that works in you to do. Working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Brothers and sisters, you don't know what God wants you to do. Mary and Martha, Mary sits down and listens to Jesus, but Martha is busy. And an onlooker would think, wow, Martha is hardworking. But who did Jesus commend? Mary. Mary sits down and listens to Jesus, and Mary is in a position to hear what Jesus has to say, and then she can rise and do. But Martha is about her own business. And the casual onlooker would think, Martha is the one that's doing it. But Jesus says, it's Mary. Being confident of this very thing, that he which had begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Christ. When you came to God, you came to him, I'm helpless, a helpless sinner. You couldn't help yourself. Why do you think that when you become born again, you can now do it? The same way you came to Jesus is the same way you continue your journey. You can't do anything. Who are kept by the power of God? God will keep you. God is responsible for your holiness. God is responsible for your perfection. But how will all these things work? how will they work? But let him that ask, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he will receive anything from God. This is a verse that scares me as a Christian. Let not that man think he will receive anything from God. We think, sometimes we imagine that God is like us. If I ask Pastor John for something and he says you must have faith, and I don't have faith, he might decide, I'll still give it to her. But God says, let him not think that he will receive anything from God. And you can only have faith when you are looking to Jesus. So brothers and sisters, this is an all expense paid journey. It's all expense paid. We hear of all expense paid. Companies offer their employees all expense paid. What do you need to do for all expense paid? Just show up. All expense paid vacation. All you need to do is show up. Brothers and sisters, this Christian life is all expense paid. But will you show up? Will you show up in the morning, wake up in the morning, not to fulfill an obligation, wake up in the morning, have your quiet time, say, Lord, I'm here to be cleansed. I'm here for you to fill me. The Bible says the word cleanses us. Will you show up in your mind, thinking about God, meditating upon the word of God? Will you show up at your workplace, in your mind? Let God be your focus. Jesus says, apart from him, I can do nothing. If Jesus could not do anything apart from the Father, who do you think? Who do we think we are? We think that being born again is enough motivation. No, your motivation can only take you so far. But the power, you need power to be able to live a righteous life. You need power. You are God's righteousness. Don't get me wrong. You are God's righteousness. But that's a position that God has placed you, which the whole of Christian life is for you to equalize your condition with your position. You are healed. You are in God's nature. You are everything. But brothers and sisters, you can live the whole of your life without appropriating these things. And the way to appropriate it is believe. The Pharisees asked Jesus, when he tells them, you are following me because I gave you meat to eat. Don't work for the flesh to eat. And they said, Master, what can we do to work the works of God? What can we do? What did Jesus tell them? Believe. And that is the same thing he's telling us today. If you're going to live right, if you're going to be holy, if you're going to be perfect, what you will do is believe, not to redouble your efforts. Believe that he can keep you. Believe that he that started this good work in you will bring it to perfection. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Amen.